Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets announced that he's not coming back. He's not going to be their quarterback next year. And I really do believe with the combine getting underway next week, towards the end of next week, you'll start to hear some chatter. You know, I'm kind of surprised we've not heard Rodgers yet on McAfee. I think we would have heard from Rodgers on McAfee in terms of doing the whole speculation or at least finding out that he was going into some cave to determine his future and you would emerge out of the darkness retreat and see where the light is at the end of the tunnel on your football future. Because Rodgers, who I don't believe for a second, by the way, he was the same guy a few years ago when it was coming to an end in Green Bay that he said he went into the cave. And when he went into the cave, he was at about 90% thinking that he was going to retire. And then he emerged. And right, it was the Jets are the team that you need to go to. And that's what happened when you did this darkness retreat. So Rodgers, you let this play out. It's going to be a dog and pony show. It's going to be a ton of drama because that's what Aaron Rodgers loves. But I'm just fascinated by where he's going to play football next year. And I look at it right now, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and this is what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, I don't know if these teams would be interested, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would love to go to the Steelers. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would love to go to the Rams. But you look at the Steelers, they're at least realistic, I think. The Rams, they got to move on from Stafford first, and then if that door is open, then you could swoop in and go there. But outside of that, like where Aaron Rodgers goes, it would be kind of sad, no offense, Stu, if he ends his career with the Raiders. I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers end his career with the Las Vegas Raiders. You're not playing for anything. You know, for the Rams, you're playing for a championship. For the Steelers, you know you'll at least be in the playoff mix. The Raiders, you're going to be looking up at the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos. Now, the quarterbacks in that division would be awesome. You get Mahomes, Herbert, Knicks, and Rodgers, that would be a whole lot of fun in those divisional round games, but the Raiders were a four-win team last year. So let's say even if you think you could put Aaron Rodgers on a team, and I don't know if his value is that great anymore. Like, he's still a very good quarterback. But let's say if Rodgers is a three-win difference, you know, maybe at most, and that may be too rich. You're going from the Raiders being a four-win team last year to a seven-win team. So that's not where I want to see Aaron Rodgers end his career. Imagine if it's Cleveland. All right, no offense to Cleveland, it'd be the same thing. They were a 3-1 football team last year. And I don't think bringing in Aaron Rodgers when he's 40 at this stage of his career is going to make Myles Garrett say, yeah, I want to stay. Same thing with Tennessee. They're a 3-1 football team. I don't want to see that. You know, I don't think the Colts are going to bring Rodgers in because the Colts have kind of done this old quarterback thing, right? We saw it with Phillip Rivers. We saw it with Matt Ryan. Now they have Anthony Richardson. I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. But I think they'll bring another veteran voice in there. Like, I could see Russell Wilson coming on in there. But if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be your week one starter. Aaron Rodgers not doing a quarterback competition here. Russell Wilson, the luster is kind of worn off. And Russell Wilson this past year was just in that QB situation with Justin Fields. So you look around the rest of the league, like, Is Rodgers staying in New York and going to the Giants? Same thing. Giants, a 3-win team last year. So you bring him in what? You get 6 wins, 7 wins? The Niners? You know, people will bring up the Niners, right? You go back to the Rodgers story, getting passed up one overall. Alex Smith going to the 49ers all those years ago. He then falls to the Green Bay Packers, eventually goes towards the later part of the first round to the Packers. But you look at San Francisco, I understand why people will throw that out there. You got a young Brock Purdy. Even if you don't think Brock Purdy is great, I still look at Brock Purdy as, even if you don't think he's great, and I don't think he's great, I think he's good, I think he's solid. I still think there's a lot more football that he has to prove to us and play. But the Niners are going to load him up and give him a big fat contract this offseason. That's just what's going to happen. I don't think the Niners are going to move on from Brock Purdy. So it's like, other than that, where else is he going? You know, is he going to the Saints? Saints are a 5-win football team. So what, if the Bucs and the Falcons don't end up doing what they're capable of next year, you know, maybe you have an outside chance to go on a run and you know, just get into the postseason and win the NFC South? So the destinations kind of stink for Rodgers. And the only two that make me go, ooh, ah, like at least intrigued, at least interested, would be the Pittsburgh Steelers and then also the LA Rams. But I talked to Herm Edwards over the weekend when I was filling on the Fan in New York. And I threw two teams out there to him. You know, at the time, the Stafford stuff, I didn't put two and two together yet of the Rams and potentially Aaron Rodgers, because I still am under the belief that Stafford's going to be back. But the two teams I threw out there were the Raiders, which would be unfortunate, and then also the Pittsburgh Steelers. When I asked Herm specifically about the Steelers, this is what he said about why he's a little skeptical of potentially Rodgers going to Pittsburgh this year.
Obviously, if he goes to Pittsburgh now, you know, that organization is buttoned up tight. It starts with Mike, obviously, the head coach, but also it starts with the Rooney family. So there's a whole different that's a whole different culture there now. And you got to buy into the culture. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
So I think that's the nicest way without Herm saying it. Without him saying that the Steelers won't do this, when he just says, hey, when I bring up Rodgers to the Steelers, you got to buy into the culture of not only Mike Tomlin, but also the Rooney family and what they've built in Pittsburgh. I don't know how much I believe that, though. Because I do get that from a lot of people, and I've thrown around Rodgers to the Steelers for the last few years. You know, when he was leaving the Packers, I threw out the Steelers and said, why not? Have that be the Big Ben replacement. And a lot of people have said, what about Tomlin? What about the Rooney family? I don't see them really coexisting and doing things on Aaron Rodgers' terms. And I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to give a little bit more, because I fully expect Aaron Rodgers to go somewhere. You saw it at the end in Green Bay. He basically wanted to be the GM. And then when they pressed him, this is one of my favorite press conferences ever, if I'm being honest. They pressed Rodgers on some of the players that he was upset with. Right? When he did that emotional press conference, and a lot of people were like, yeah, rah, rah. Like, the Packers need to treat their players better. They need to treat the older guard better. And the guys that he listed and the guys that he was talking about, sure, it made you feel sentimental. Sure, there was a connection. Sure, those guys were great in Green Bay. But was Green Bay really ever wrong for moving on from those players? Like, you go through those players he was talking about, thought should have been treated better at the end in Green Bay. A lot of them did nothing. Did nothing once they left the Green Bay Packers. And that's why I want to give input to Aaron Rodgers and two quarterbacks, but you still need a GM and a head coach, and they're not going to let the quarterback be the main point guy of the team. Because quarterbacks, you don't know what they're motivated by. And yes, they need to have a say because of how much we pay them. But in terms of building a 53, I don't know if quarterbacks know how to build the 53 the right way. Because you could say, oh, we need to keep this guy and pay him. And then that could take away from two other positions that may be more beneficial to you guys winning games. So Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is not a good GM. But the one pushback I'll have in terms of Rodgers to the Steelers and why I think it can't happen, we've seen Mike Tomlin deal with some big names. Now, I know that the microscope Rodgers is under. But when Mike Tomlin was dealing with Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, remember when he got traded to the Raiders? What did people say initially? That's it? That's all they got? And then you saw the disaster in the bleep show. That was Antonio Brown since leaving Pittsburgh, where he didn't even make it to one regular season game with the Raiders, then played for the Patriots, played one game, caught a touchdown up against Miami, celebrated the end zone, and then was cut shortly after that. And even in Tampa Bay, guy wins a Super Bowl. The next year, he acts like a jackass running off the field because he had some issue with Bruce Arians. And, you know, I know that Antonio Brown has tried to justify that in years past and be like, oh, I was trying to get forced to put in when I was injured, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. If you give Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt, you're like the biggest clown on the planet. I don't care what he claims. I can't give Antonio Brown any benefit of the doubt. Has an entertaining social media feed. There is no doubt about that. But I can't give him the benefit of the doubt about being in the right on anything. So if Tomlin was able to keep Antonio Brown in check, and I know it's a little bit different, or kind of keep whatever Antonio Brown was doing a secret. And I know Antonio Brown was an elite wide receiver then, so it makes it easier to put up with. Rodgers is no longer an elite quarterback, but could Rodgers still be a top 10 quarterback? Yeah. And when was the last time the Steelers had a top 10 quarterback? What are we looking at? Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, like those have been their quarterbacks since Big Ben's body did break down. So I could actually see, with if you really want to go back to what Big Ben was accused of, and then you look at also when you take a glance at Antonio Brown and the things that did go on with Antonio Brown, you know, I know he wasn't a star, but, you know, Mike Tomlin, you know, did coach Mike Vick. You know, it wasn't Mike Vick was a star at one point, not when he was in Pittsburgh. And we know what Mike Vick went to the slammer for. So for Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he could be a pain in the ass in the locker room. And then all the people that would tell me he's the greatest teammate he's ever had. And a lot comes with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is a choir boy because he knows what he's doing. But sometimes I do think the Rodgers conversation, because of people's personal dislike for him, and yes, he does some wacky conspiracy theories. He says some crazy, stupid things. I'm not excusing that. But it gets to a point where you're like, oh, you can't bring him in as a quarterback. And if that's the reason why Pittsburgh can't bring him in, oh, it's because the Rooney family has a certain culture and Mike Tomlin has a certain culture, I call cap on that. I call cap on that. I think that Mike Tomlin for a year and Aaron Rodgers for a year and the Rooney family for a year could put up with whatever comes with Aaron Rodgers. Because if you don't, what are you going to? You going back to Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? You're not getting a quarterback in the first round. Like, if you bring in Sam Darnold, you want to go younger? Okay. That's at least a move that you make for the future. But if you're just going to a veteran that isn't a long-term commitment, I don't see why you wouldn't just bring Aaron Rodgers for a year. What's the risk? It's low risk, high reward. There's more to gain here for Mike Tomlin. You haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. If you get a good version of Aaron Rodgers, and yes, they have to improve that line, but you have George Pickens, and you take a glance on the defense side of the ball, and let's say they bounce back to being the Steelers that we expect on the defense, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to win a Super Bowl next year, but they could win a playoff game with Aaron Rodgers next year. That's for sure. Here was Ty Dunn with us earlier. Ty Dunn is sort of leaning right now that Aaron Rodgers gets the Bill Belichick treatment, and he could see Aaron Rodgers actually getting shut out in this free agency period.
I think this is Bill Belichick in quarterback form. I think that he probably wants to play, wants to start, wants to make money, and I'll be surprised if a team gives him that opportunity. I don't know how a GM, a head coach, hell, an owner can see what happened in Green Bay, can see what happened with the New York Jets, and allow Aaron Rodgers to nuke your building in the same form and fashion. Is he really going to want to start for a team at quarterback and just play quarterback? I would be shocked if that's the case for somebody that we've seen the same storyline play out again and again and again. It's bringing the buddies, whether they're coaches, whether they're players. It's pseudo GM, assistant GM, assistant to the assistant GM, Dwight Schrute-esque. I don't know. I mean, it's so obvious at this point, right? It's not just one of us kind of trying to explain this to people from conversations behind the scenes. It was on full public display. I would, even though there are a lot of options out there at quarterback via trade, free agency, the draft, I don't know why any team would do it.
So you think he's getting shut out completely is what you're saying?
It's a gut feeling. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach ever, and nobody wanted him to come in, completely take over a building. right? You bring in Bill Belichick. It's not just to coach the team. There's a lot more that goes into it than just saying Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Of course he should start day one. You're bringing in a lot more than that, just like you're bringing in a lot more than just Bill Belichick coaching your defense, coaching your team. I don't know. Maybe there's a desperate owner out there, but Woody Johnson, not one of the best owners, to put it mildly. So he was duped. The Jets were duped. I don't know who will get duped again.
This is also the other part of the conversation. If let's say the Rams keep Stafford and the Steelers say thanks but no thanks, is Rodgers going to want to play? And Rodgers, to me, I don't think likes getting told what to do. So if the Steelers are like thanks but no thanks and the Rams are like thanks but no thanks, it's like I would then say, hey, I had a good run. I'm out. I'm going to retire. I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's what I would do. But I could then see Rodgers going to an obscure spot right now for him in terms of those teams aren't ready in a Cleveland or Tennessee or even the Raiders. And then it's just like, okay, you're playing to just pad stats for one more year and just go out on a decent note. I don't see why you would end up doing that. But if he starts to get shut out, maybe he makes it so advantageous for a team to bring him in. I also find it funny when people go, and I know it's all different reasons, but people go with Aaron Rodgers, like Herm Edwards. I don't know if he fits the culture of Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney. You know, the Rooney family. And then you get to Ty Dunn. I think he's going to get shut out. And then you look at the Steelers, and you look at the players on their team right now. Is George Pickens a great culture guy? George Pickens is a really good young wide receiver. He's a me guy. Right? And if he catches the ball, he acts like he just is, you know, just won the Super Bowl and he's Jerry Rice. The ball doesn't go his way, he becomes a malcontent. And that's been a problem where Tomlin has even criticized him before about it. But here's an interesting one. This is George Pickens with Chris Henry Jr. And this is via the overtime season on TikTok. This is from August when George Pickens is talking about who his dream teammate would be. Listen up.
Yeah, what's your dream teammate, past or present?
My dream teammate would probably be like Joe Burrow or like T. Higgins, because they like the Bengals, my favorite team, and they my favorite players. So.
Nah, for sure. My dream teammate would probably be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers or like Ed Reed or something like that. Ed Reed, yeah.
I see that.
So interesting. He says his dream teammate would be Ed Reed, who doesn't play anymore, right? And Aaron Rodgers, who still plays. So I know that's from August, but George Pickens, who could be a problem, be a pain in the ass. You go get him Aaron Rodgers. Hey, I know Garrett Wilson was looking forward to playing with Aaron Rodgers. It didn't work out. George Pickens that has no leg to stand on and being upset next year. So I would like to see Rodgers, if Stafford leaves the Rams or if the Rams get rid of Stafford, I would then think Rodgers and the Rams for a year makes sense. But then also, I think the Steelers make sense as well right now. Unless if they're going to go give a long-term deal to Sam Darnold, which I'm skeptical if they're going to end up doing that. But outside of that, I really have no interest to see Rodgers play anywhere else for this upcoming year, out of the realistic options. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll do a little news brief next.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 Nations final tonight. USA tries to beat up on Canada twice in a week. That would be something. And it'd be a big blow to the egos of all those Canadians that we're going to be at war with tonight. So that's going to be fun coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern. Jeremy Roenick, the Hockey Hall of Famer, did join us about 2 hours ago, and he explained why this game is actually more important to Canada tonight rather than the U.S. Listen up.
It'd be really special because you're right, because the United States has really taken the biggest leap in terms of the its quality of hockey. I mean, we are a world superpower, and there are a lot of people who are saying that we are at the same level, if not maybe a little bit better than Canada right now, which who would ever thought that? And I know Canada will take exception to that comment, but all these things that are happening right now, Canada needs this win tonight to kind of keep that legacy of hockey is Canada's game, right? Because I think if they lose this, this could be a really big blow to their psyche and to their power struggle. So it's been 10 years since we've seen the best players in the world all together put on their nation's colors. And these guys are taking it for real. This is their first opportunity to get this kind of play. And they know that they're going to hit a certain genre, a certain generation of kids that are going to watch this, that are going to say, I want to play in that game. I want to be a hockey player. If USA can win, it's going to spur those USA kids on even more. If Canada wins, it'll probably hit another group of Canadians. But that's how important that this game is on both sides. And that's why I say hockey win, not just Canada, not just America. This hockey wins tonight regardless.
The middle part of that to me was fascinating because I thought going into tonight, this game was more important to the United States, right? Because, right, how many times Canada has beat us up, right? It's their sport. And, you know, I know what happened in 2002. I remember watching as a kid, us losing the gold medal game. Then what happened in 2010, Parisi scores, and then Crosby rips all of our hearts out. And it's one thing to get that win on Saturday, but then if you're able to follow it up with another win on Thursday and you beat them twice in a week, you know, it'd kind of be like if Michigan played Ohio State, right, in this new version of college football, in the Big Ten, in the last week of the season, right, Thanksgiving weekend, right, Michigan, let's say, beat Ohio State, and they played the next week in the Big Ten championship, and then Michigan beat them again. Like, that's the closest thing I could think of, and one is on, you know, just in the same sport on the same level. The other is in a national level now. But this Four Nations thing, I didn't even really give it much thought. I know, right, hockey's going back to letting the NHL players go to the Olympics for the next Olympics, which is great next year. But it stunk that the last two times they weren't able to go. But it was one of those things when they said this, I'm like, ah, whatever. It's not. I didn't think it was that really that big of a deal. But to see the response, and also it's the perfect timing of it too, when we really have no sports going on and the NBA players with their Fugazi All-Star game and their All-Star weekend gave no effort, it's been a major win for hockey. But to hear JR say it's actually more important to Canada, I didn't think about it that way because it'd be so humiliating, even though, right, we've grown leaps and bounds in America, you know, with hockey. But this is, right, their sport. They always, you know, look at the U.S. as gum on the bottom of their shoe. And if we could, if little brother could beat them up twice in the same week, well, then you're little brother no more. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Jean-Luc in Calgary, next up on the Infinity Sports Network. Jean-Luc, what's going on before we kick your ass once again?
Bonjour, Zach. Bonjour. Bonjour.
You're going to make me die on the air. I knew this wasn't Jean-Luc when I went to it. I had a feeling who this was going to be. But it is our, you know, forget Jeremy Roenick. I love when he comes on the show, and I love JR. But this is the resident hockey expert for the Zach Gelb Show, who was in Canada when they were booing our national anthem. And Sully was there, boots on the ground, and I'm assuming you're in Boston tonight for the big final, right?
Oh, buddy, boots on the ground, yes. Unfortunately, no. There was too many days in between the game on Monday and tonight. Yeah, oh yeah, we left right after Canada, Sweden.
Okay.
Buddy, I got things to do. I mean, listen, there is not a better place to watch a hockey game than the Bell Center in Montreal. I don't care what anyone says. If anyone disagrees, because they've never seen a game at the Bell Center in Montreal. I never, unfortunately, didn't get to go to the Forum, the old school one. But I'll tell you, the atmosphere was electric for all the games. Yeah, so they booed the national anthem. Who cares? They have to live in Canada. Salt, no big deal. So they boo the anthem, and then the Kachuk brothers go absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
And then JT Miller gets in a fight, and he's out of his weight class, but he still gets into a fight. And then McJesus scored, and the building, the roof, blew off that building, Zach. I have never and will never be at a better live sporting event than what I got to witness and be live at for USA-Canada on Saturday.
I'm really surprised. Tonight, and I know you're a busy guy, but I'm surprised you're not doing a little Regina pizza tonight and you're going to the game. I'm really shocked by this, Sully.
Well, we had Regina pizza after the game Monday, and then we flew back home. Zach, I got things to do, buddy. I can't just take random vacations for 2 weeks to Montreal and Boston to watch hockey. I wish I could. Trust me, I wish I could.
So where's now, your confidence, by the way, tonight? Because I'm going to be honest. Obviously, I want the U.S. to win. I'm not like Samter, who's rooting for Canada, that traitor. But I'm nervous because to beat them twice in a few days, you know, once was awesome. Twice would just be unbelievable, but that's so tough to do with how deep they are.
Where's my confidence level? I got 1,000 going on USA versus my friend in Canada.
Really? Big bet here for Sully.
It's Canadian money. It's Canadian money, so it's like $520. But hey, it's 1,000 Canadian. Yeah, because he wanted to do it in Canadian. Fine. Whatever. Also, I want to touch on something that you brought up.
Yeah.
That JR said. JR, absolute legend. I was sitting across the row from a gentleman who is the sports agent in hockey. And he said to me, within 4 to 7 years, if not already, USA will produce more talent than Canada will in hockey. And that blew me away. Blew me away when he said that.
It's a big statement, but it shows, like, where hockey was 15 years ago in America to where it is now, it is crazy how many, like, Hellebuck, I think, has the most to gain tonight because if they win, it's going to be because of him. And I know he's already won two Vezinas and, right, the Jets are awesome this year, and we'll see if they go win the Stanley Cup. But if they win tonight, I really think it's going to be because of him because he stands on his head and makes, like, 32 saves or something like that.
And they play a different game, Zach. You saw it Saturday. Canada was going side to side, east and west. U.S. was just laying the lumber, hitting people, hitting everybody, hitting their own teammates. What was interesting, Zach, at the end of the game, we ran into Big Walt, Kachuk's dad, and all the people wanted to take photos with him, even they were wearing their Canadian sweater. That's what I thought was interesting.
Yeah, because
everybody wanted a photo with dad.
The sons kick your ass, and then you're trying to take photos with him. Yeah, it's a bad job by those Canadians.
It was outstanding. I am so fired up for tonight's game. I feel like it was tough. The reference, you can't really give a reference as to what this game means.
You know, that's the tricky part because it's a new thing, right? It's not the Olympics. Yep. You know, when I first saw it, Sully, I was like, all right, whatever. But it brings out a different pride in a lot of people. And this feels, you know, I hate to say it. I don't want to say it feels just as big as the way that I felt back in 2010 or even when I was a kid in 2002. So fired up. But it's one of those things where it's must-see TV tonight. And if you win, it's going to be a party, an American party, because we would love to dance in the grave of those Canadians and their sport being no more and now being our sport.
USA! USA! USA!
And you know what they say, love Sully? You know what they say?
What?
Or Jean-Luc in Calgary, what? Sorry. Great moments are born from great opportunities. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. I'm sick and tired of hearing what a great hockey team Canada has. Screw them. I can't wait for tonight, Sully.
USA! USA!
There we go. Jean-Luc in Calgary, a.k.a. Sully, who I thought was in Boston, and he's back in Vegas. That's Sully. I got to get in the Sully jet. Those frequent flyer miles that where he's at all the time. And he had the best seats in the house. The best seats in the house. He was 10 rows off center ice at the Bell Center for that Saturday night brawl between Canada and the U.S. Now, I got to go to Ack, because Ack is a huge hockey fan. Ack, where are you at? You fired up for tonight, or is this one of those things where it's
Saturday was appointment time. I was waiting all day. So,
where's your confidence level?
Not high.
I'm nervous. I'm worried.
Well, I'm worried for two reasons for Team USA. Number one, I think they have the two best players on the ice when they're on the ice, and that's McDavid and MacKinnon. And secondly, I think that USA is running out of some steam here. No McAvoy tonight. Matthew Tkachuk is playing, but he's banged up. Austin Matthews is not 100%. Brady Tkachuk, they kind of sat for precautionary reasons, but because they're already clinching the spot, in the finals. So I don't know who else might be banged up on that team, but I think that they've used a lot of gas to get here.
And also, to do it once on Saturday is one thing.
Yeah, and especially the way they did it, that's going to stir you up a little. I mean, the Canadians were not happy about losing that game.
Well, it's almost funny. It's because, the game happened Saturday, and it was such a party, right?
Yeah.
On social media, everyone was like, hockey, 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 USA, 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 USA.
It was a long way from Saturday.
And then it kind of, dawned on all of us. I was putting out some tweets. I was like, oh, Canada, we beat you on your land. I was really enjoying myself. And then I'm like, oh, we could actually see them again. On Thursday.
Yeah, that's what everybody wanted, so be careful what you wish for.
And that's when kind of this chill went up my spine. I'm like, ooh, I could be a little freezing cold takes, old takes exposed coming up on late Thursday night.
The one difference, though, and look, with all due respect to the people in Boston, the game presentation in Montreal was absolutely phenomenal.
Sure.
Absolutely phenomenal. And it always is. So I think that's going to be a little tough to top.
I think the booing, though. I saw Sean McDonough was like, oh, I hope we're above that. Don't boo. Yeah. I think the booing tonight in Boston. Beantown's going to be booing. You booed during our national anthem? We'll give it right back to you.
Well, I understand why they booed. I wish it would have just stopped there. But, hey, people are people.
Yeah.
They're going to do what they do.
I think it's going to be a good boo sight tonight in Boston. That start's going to be electric. Electric. Alrighty, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alright, let's listen up to the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. Bill Belichick was asked about quarterbacks and trying to find them. And in that process, he ends up throwing a little shot at the Jets.
How do you find a quarterback?
Well, you might take a look at the ones that the Jets have released. Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, they've done pretty well. Guys that nobody really wanted, and they've played pretty well.
And remember the report Belichick asked the Jets, right? He tried to call the Jets to see if he could be their head coach. Bunch of baloney. He may have just dangled the carrot. I don't know if there's an amount of money in the world that Belichick would take to coach the Jets. He despises the New York Jets, and he keeps on twisting that knife deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Let's go to Shams Charania. He was on to ESPN, and he explained the Victor Wembanyama news from today.
The Spurs right now believe that this is an isolated condition, that there's one form of a blood clot in that right shoulder of his that will sideline him for the remainder of the season. The hope, obviously, is that there's no spread, that there's nothing more here, and that he's going to be ready to go for the offseason and for the 2025-2026 season.
So they hope. That's what they hope. And we all hope this is an isolated situation. But with that being said, Dr. Brandon J. Erickson joined us earlier, about an hour ago, and he said there's no way to know right now if the Victor Wembanyama blood clot is an isolated situation. Because they're going to give him medicine. They're going to see what happens if it spreads. He did say it's rare for it to be in the shoulder. It's more common in your legs. But this is in the shoulder. Doesn't make it more dangerous. Doc made that clear. And I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I'm just going off the doctor and the medical personnel. But that's what he told us on the show. So there's no way to know right now. But yeah, you'd be optimistic and be hopeful that this is going to be it for Victor Wembanyama, and then he can come on back next year and make a full recovery, not only so he can continue to live his life, but also so he could go play in the NBA. Let's go to Sam Quinn. He was on CBS Sports HQ on Victor Wembanyama's season-ending blood clot.
My initial reaction is fear. I mean, when you're talking about blood clots, this is a medical condition that has ended careers. I mean, most notably, Chris Bosh was still an all-star when he had his first clot. It didn't take long for his career to end after that. Mirza Teletovic, a good role player for the Milwaukee Bucks, blood clots ended his career as well. We hope this is an isolated incident, and there are cases in recent NBA history of players having an isolated incident like this and coming back just fine. The one that comes to mind is Brandon Ingram, who had a clot because of a shoulder injury. He's gone on to have a, you know, productive, healthy career for the most part. So with something like this, this goes beyond basketball. This is a scary medical condition that can affect you on the court and off. So for now, I have to give the caveat that I'm not a doctor, but you hear blood clots with anybody and you get scared.
Yeah, it's extremely scary, right? You hear blood clot and that's like, oh my goodness gracious. You think about the person first before you think about the athlete first. I know that in a lot of times what we do, we just get caught up to, okay, when is the guy going to be able to come back? When is he going to be able to come back and play? That's definitely a thought. But the first thing that you, when you hear this, you say, okay, I hope Victor Wembanyama, the person, is okay. And it's scary. And this would be so unfortunate, not only for his health, but also for his career. If, right, we've seen Victor Wembanyama play in the U.S., play in the NBA for a year and a half, and if this becomes a lingering issue, it's not only something that derails his career, it also could derail his life, which is scary. And once again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend here like I know everything, but you just hope that this is an isolated incident, because if not, then it's just absolutely horrible. Let's go to Shams Charania back on the ESPN. He discussed Giannis Antetokounmpo's future in Milwaukee.
Everyone knows Giannis Antetokounmpo loves the Bucks, but I'm here to tell you, he loves winning more, and that's why everyone within that Bucks organization, they know what's at stake this season. They know the pressure, and every summer when Giannis looks around and he looks at the Bucks' current roster, he looks at sustained long-term winning. Where will he be able to find that? And he has said publicly on the record, if he feels like that's not attainable anymore in Milwaukee, he will look elsewhere.
I feel like we hear this once a year. And we keep on seeing Giannis staying and re-signing with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's the thing, though. They made the big move here. Like, the last time this was there, they had to go make a big move. They made the big move. They got Dame. And last year, it didn't work out. Now they're basically playing two coaches at once, right? Because Griffin's no longer there. You brought in Doc Rivers. You gave him the big, fat contract. And this year, the East is up there for the taking. Yeah, I know that the Cavs are having an unbelievable season. Is anyone confident the Cavs are going to be there at the end of the year and they're going to be going to the NBA Finals? I'm not. Because we've seen teams just explode in the regular season and come postseason time. They go out earlier than what their record would indicate they should go out in. So I look at the Celtics, I look at the Knicks, I look at the Bucks. I would still anticipate one of those three teams going to the NBA Finals. But maybe if, right, 2 years together with Dame, they don't get the job done, they just got rid of Chris Middleton, they made the move for Kuzma. If you don't feel like you go win another championship, is it the craziest thing to say that Giannis, who has like shown so much love to Milwaukee, will leave? I don't think it's the craziest, right? We just looked at a time where Luka Doncic just got traded. But he's under contract through 26-27, through the 2027 season. And then he got a player option. That's the first time he could actually say I'm opting out, is 2027-2028 for that season. That's a player option. But with that being said, we've seen players before have a contract, especially the NBA, and find their way out. Alrighty, Stu, I want to ask you this before I play it. What were your thoughts last night of the ending of the Lakers Hornets game?
Oh, it was lovely. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, they played bad the whole game. They kind of deserve what they got.
Are you okay with who took the final shot?
I am. He's still LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't too mad about it.
Okay. Because I've seen that be the big... I get it's a low-hanging fruit. Who should get the final shot?
For is sure.
it LeBron?
You're going to get a lot of that.
You know, or is it Luka Doncic? The ironic part is we've had these discussions before. How many times is it we want LeBron to shoot?
Yeah, he
and
doesn't.
It's LeBron passes it off, like when he was in Cleveland, and he would always pass it off. So it's one of those things where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yep.
Here is J.J. Redick, though, my favorite coach in the NBA. LeBron James taking the last shot over Luka Doncic.
As a coach, you're excited that you have two guys that can be the passer and be the guy who gets the pass. But felt like, you know, LeBron particularly in the fourth, just, you know, found a nice rhythm and felt really comfortable with that. And we got two good looks.
And let's get to Luka Doncic on LeBron taking the last shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's both ways. You know, he had it going, so obviously we're going to go to him. You know, I think it go both ways. So one time is going to be him, one time me. So I think it depends how the game's going.
By the way, how about what's been made after the aftermath of this with the Mark Williams deal? When, you know, that comes back up last night and the Delta Connect trade and all that. It seemed as if a lot of people believe, Stu, that he should not have flunked his physical.
It does seem like that. Almost like they regretted the decision to make the trade in the first place. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's maybe a weird one. It's very weird.
Maybe with LeBron being more out of the loop, LeBron's like, why the heck are we trading Delta Connect? Now, I don't
maybe,
know.
Yeah.
But they need a big man. After you got rid of Anthony Davis, you thought, okay, Mark Williams coming in provides that. And I'm not thinking that Mark Williams flunked it intentionally. Wouldn't you want to go to L.A., right? So that was all bizarre. But this is LeBron dunking on Mark Williams after receiving the trade. Listen up.
He was never a teammate. He never stepped into the locker room. We never came and we never seen him. You know, we know the trade went down, but we never seen him. So when the guy rescinded, it just was back to what it was before. So it was no different.
Yeah, that's a bizarre question. And how else do you expect LeBron to handle it? Let's go to Tim Hardaway on the Gil's Arena with Gilbert Arenas podcast. He calls out Jimmy Butler.
What I was mad with Jimmy is you under contract. You trying to get back at Pat, but you're not getting back at Pat. You hurting your teammates. Them guys coming in and work every day, and they expect you to work every day. And you crying because he told you no. Only thing he wanted you to do is play more games. I don't want to be in the play-in games anymore. I want to be in the playoff and have a week off, and I want to prepare and be ready for our opponent. Jimmy didn't want to do that. Jimmy wanted to do what he continued to do, take games off. He wasn't hurt, but he was just taking games off.
I don't disagree with Tim Hardaway, but the Heat, and we always talk about Heat culture, they kind of enabled this with him. They let him get away with a lot. And at the end, I thought Jimmy was in the wrong because I understand with how many games he was missing why Pat Riley's like, yeah, I'm not going to give you everything you want. But it's still one of those situations where it's like, I get why the Heat wouldn't do that. And then I thought Jimmy just grossly overreacted, but it ended up working for him because now he's with the Warriors. So I don't fault Tim Hardaway for being annoyed. Finally, Mike Lang, the longtime voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who retired a few years ago after spending 46 years with the organization, or as they say in hockey, the organization. He unfortunately did pass away yesterday at the age of 76. Let's listen up to obviously one of his legendary calls.
Saka comes in to take it again. Lemieux in front. Hey! Shoots and scores! Mario Lemieux gives the Penguins a lead. Oh, scratch my back with a hacksaw.
Unbelievable call. You know, one of my favorites used to be, and rest in peace, obviously, and our condolences to his family, but one of my favorite hockey announcers ever, he now does the color, but Randy Moeller, who used to do the play-by-play for the Panthers, he would just do, like, movie calls. So he'd be like, Stones are shoots, he scores! Ma, where's the meatloaf? Or like, he shoots, he scores! You're my boy, Blue, or that's my boy, Blue! Like, that's what he would do. It was just unbelievable. As you get these random references that would go right over the head of Stu Kovacs when it comes to movies. Alrighty, go USA. I hope I'm wrong. I'm nervous. But I want the United States to win because I'm proud to be an American. Good stuff. Stuart Kovacs, Michael Samter, Rich Ackerman. Big thanks to Ty Dunn, Jeremy Roenick, the Hockey Hall of Famer, for joining us. Dr. Brandon J. Erickson. Enjoy the game tonight. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for a Friday show, a Hockey Friday show tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific time. Bye-bye. Peace.
Diamond Dynasty has all new red diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.